Vision. Using the magic mirror. In a letter written by Mary Baker Eddy to one of her students on the topic of vision, she asks the question, can you focus no matter what comes your way? If one looks through a microscope or a telescope or a pair of binoculars, there is a very small viewing area. This is purposely because the visual acuity is increased significantly when one focuses by looking through a very small orifice. One can create the same effect by curling up a forefinger and tucking it inside the thumb, leaving only a small area, a small opening for viewing. If one normally wears glasses or uses contact lenses, and if they would remove their glasses or contact lenses and look through the curled up forefinger, it could very well give them the same effect as if they had perfect vision. It appears that Mary Baker Eddy is telling us to do exactly that. Focus, no matter what may be surrounding the atmosphere. One of the beginning quotations to Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy is a quotation from Shakespeare that states, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Mary Baker Eddy is asking us to realize that the thought is what creates our view. Frederick L. Rawson, one of the greatest practitioners of all time, states basically the same thing when he says that right thinking will heal. The instruction from Mary Baker Eddy is about us. What is our ability to focus? She doesn't talk about anyone else. If we think someone has made a big mistake, she doesn't say to think about the other person and the mistake that you think that they have made. She says, are you able to focus? It seems obvious that she says to examine oneself. Look in the mirror. What you see in the mirror is who you should be looking to solve the problem. Jesus constantly looked at the perfect man. No matter what the appearance seemed to be from a human standpoint or a human viewpoint, he could not have healed sin, sickness, and raised the dead if he was focusing on the human perspective. Only if he was focusing on spirit, the only real substance which is flawless, would he have been able to heal the beliefs of sin, sickness, and death? From a human standpoint, there was chaos surrounding him. How about when they were arresting him to take him to the king for the trial? Peter cut the ear off of one of the guards. What did Jesus do? He focused on the perfect man and healed the ear. In every instance when Jesus was healing, he focused on what needed to be focused on that was a particular aspect of God. The belief of mortal mind presents itself in very creative ways. It tries to mock truth from every angle possible. The expectation is that someone who is susceptible to the trickery of the belief accepts it as their own thought or as a condition that is without any possibility of rejecting it or avoiding it, but must submit to it. And in many cases, the submission or acceptance of it is involuntary. One may be totally unconscious of what is taking place. When the corruption in the medical industry was promoting a so-called pandemic, it was common for people to just put on a mask and accept it as being normal, or even submitting to the beliefs that are associated with the problems that they were promoting as being symptoms of the named pandemic. How about if one happens to be observing an accident or even being involved in one? Is there an automatic acceptance that this is reality? Or does one immediately go to the door of their consciousness and say, "No, I am not accepting this as being reality"? One may look all around them to find someone that is guilty, someone that is the cause of the problem. But in the title of this treatment, when it refers to the magic mirror, the intention is to awaken oneself. Look in the mirror. Do self-examination. Mary Baker Eddy says that we will be plenty busy taking care of our own thought without being concerned about the thoughts of anyone else. For our thought is where it begins and ends for our own atmosphere and our own well-being. And of course, that reflects out into the universe of thought and has an impact on everyone. So if our thought is where it should be, such as what Mary Baker Eddy and Jesus and other advanced spiritual thinkers did with their thought, then it will be a very positive impact on the entire population of the world. One does not need to be concerned with the thoughts of everybody in the universe or even a single individual, but about one's own thought. We need to take care of our own raindrop, our own grain of sand, and we will help the entire universe by doing that. Because if it is done properly, it will be a positive influence on everything. The mirror is the key. Not looking around trying to find blame. Not even looking at a mortal self to point blame. One needs to lift thought to a higher dimension. Einstein stated that you cannot solve a problem by approaching it at the same level of where the problem appeared. the problem is not going to be divine. It's going to be something less than divine. So we need to view from the divine level. Mr. Rawson states that we should deny the reality of the problem in a very short sentence, such as, there is no, and then state the problem. Then follow that initial denial by shifting thought to truth and focusing on perfect God, perfect man, in a perfect heaven, explaining away with specific truth that is the antipode and counterfact to what appeared as a physical or visual observation. Focus is not on the problem, but on the reality about God and man. For example, if one would experience a sudden pain and had no idea what the supposed source was, or the belief that is supposedly bringing forth the pain, one could simply make a statement that was generic, stating that there is no pain in God's idea. I am an idea of God, and therefore I cannot experience pain. And then one could explore thoroughly the qualities of God, and maybe particularly think about principle, where everything is in balance, everything is harmonious, or spirit, where real substance is flawless and everything is in order, and there is no mixture of good and evil, no mixture of chaos and harmony. There is no dilution or deflection or interference with the truth of God's idea, for there is nothing else that has any power besides God, the one and only divine mind that is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Also, one needs to broaden the scope to think about if they're working on a very important project, because this could be an attempt to be an interference with the project, manifesting itself as some kind of a bodily pain or some kind of chaos in one's life. Mary Baker Eddy indicates that it's very likely that it will show up in the weakest part of one's body. The interference, therefore, is attempting to manifest itself in a symptom that is totally unrelated to what the real problem is. Getting upset with someone else and raising one's voice is common, but means that one is failing in their attempt to focus. Or perhaps there may not even have been an attempt to focus, but permitted material sense of soul to take control of one's thought, speech, and actions. Soul being sense, it means that a material sense of soul means the sight, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling was all based purely on material sensation, reacting instead of responding, is an example. One must make sure that all thought, speech, and action is a reflection of the spiritual qualities of God. If one has observed an accident, it may be best to turn oneself away from the view of the accident so that one can think in more solitude. Closing one's eyes, assuming one is not driving or something like that. If it is a noise, maybe one needs to go to a different area where the noise is not audible. Any material sense of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling needs to be shut out of thought so that the focus can be on the spiritual sense. No matter what approach is taken, one must try diligently to get thought off of any personality and on to spiritual qualities. One very easy, direct way to address a problem is to utilize the scientific statement of being, substituting the problem for the word matter. One could also be thinking about forgiveness. In the recent treatment on this topic, it was clearly stated that we can only forgive if we have condemned. So, of course, the correct way to conduct one's life is to not be condemning anyone. Dr. Fluno has an excellent article on criticizing. He states that our entire life can be laden with unfortunate experiences if we criticize others. He states it will prevent healing. As noted in that treatment about criticism, he was one of the first lecturers to be appointed by Mary Baker Eddy. And he was a lecturer for many years. Mary Baker Eddy obviously was very pleased with his spiritual nature. When one looks through a small aperture, as the examples that were given in this treatment, one is blocking out things that could possibly interrupt the view. So that's exactly what we must do. We must not even let it enter the door of consciousness. The focus must not be on any extraneous distraction or any distraction at all, but only on the primary focus. The definitions of God from Science and Health, both from Recapitulation and from the Glossary, Chapter 17. Also the definition of good from the Glossary. There is a most recent treatment on There Is No Matter, which is reading the article by Mary Baker Eddy from Unity of Good, beginning on page 31. Mr. Rosen states that the primary thing that we must guard against all the time is the belief in matter, for everything stems from that, that is mortal. God, man, the relationship between God and man, getting thought off of matter and onto spirit, being a leader of thought instead of letting thought follow whatever comes our way, so that we control what we let into consciousness and not be passive in any way, shape, or form. God is all in all. and therefore there is nothing but God. Amen.